Such a good song, because he is so sweet, and he awoke us up this morning. That's the sweetest thing he could have did today. Regardless how the rest of the day go, even if you missed a game today because you're still in service, he's still sweet. Amen, amen, everybody. He said, if I take too long, I'll pull the projection down. Not for real. I'm just joking with y'all. I'm trying to get y'all because I'm going to get you later on. Look. Well, sister said I got till 2:30, so I'll take the full allotted time. Anyway, look. I'm thankful just to be able to share the word and just to grow as a young man into the body and also into the word that God has placed on my heart, and not do my will, but do what the Holy Spirit has allowed me to do. Because sometimes you can get full of yourself and do what you think is best. And God has a way of showing you that he'll put you in line regardless how he does it. I want to do it willingly and not bitter and mean, because he'll put you in a position you don't want to be in. So I'm learning just to take heed of what he says, because age is nothing but a number. And as I grow, I'm just thankful for the brothers here allowing me just to share the word. And I pray I say something that's encouraging. But like always, I like to start with something funny. There was a rich man who moved into the town, and this rich man was looking for a church home to go to. So he visited a few churches and he found the church out here. And when he found this church, he decided to visit the church. So he visited and he said, all the love, all the caring I get from all the people that are members of the church, I'm gonna make that my church home. But I want to do something special, because I just can't go join them. I got to go and give them something. So one day he calls the church. And as he calls the church, the secretary answers the phone and he said, I want to talk to the head hog. I want to talk to the big cheese. I want to talk to the one that eats at the trough. And the secretary says, sir, you can either address him as minister or pastor, but you will not disrespect him. He is like, well, I was about to give a $10,000 donation. She said, home, Porky just walked in. The things we'll do for money. I got one more, but I'll say it if I take too long. Today, title of my lesson would be, and it's a question that you need to really ask yourself and have an understanding of what I'm about to present to you. Because we just read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But in order to have unity, you got to understand one thing. Because in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling. He was calling himself as a prisoner. He said, the prisoner. See, we got to understand what this is really saying. We all got to get on the same page in order to be united and have unity. Today's lesson title will be, who's your cellmate? Who's your cellmate? See, some of us take this word cellmate as a prison term, as a term of, oh, you've been in jail. But see, when I looked up the word cellmate, and it has many different definitions, a group of individuals who shares a work area. See, you just got to look. And I looked until I found the definition that will fit this sermon. Because the first thing that comes to people's mind is, I ain't never been to jail. I don't have a cellmate. I don't even know what you're talking about. But see, when you get done with this lesson, you'll really understand who your cellmate is. See, when I asked that question, some of you look confused. Like, cellmate, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it is to be in jail. But you must understand what it says and what you have just read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. See, in order to understand who is your cellmate, you need to understand your mindset. Let's look at the meaning prisoner, which is a person who is or feels confined or trapped by a situation or sets of circumstance. See, that's prisoner. When we look up prisoner, we just got the meaning of, we should feel, number one, we should feel confined to live an upright Christian life. See, in that word, prisoner that we just described, it says confined. We should always be confined to live a Christian life. We should never feel that we are forced to, but we should feel that we are in the confines of the Holy Spirit at all times. Yes. Number two, we should allow the Holy Spirit to be trapped inside us so we can guide and direct our path through life. When we just read that definition, a person who is confined or trapped, the Holy Spirit should be trapped inside of us at all times. See, I'm taking this definition and breaking it down, because if the Holy Spirit is trapped in us, it'll guide and direct us through good and evil. When we about to cuss that person out, the Holy Spirit will come and say, don't do it. Amen. So you got to understand, it has to be trapped inside of us. And in order to get trapped inside of us, we got to get in this water. And when you get in this water, you got to accept it. But third is, and last to understand, and the last to understand are circumstances, good or bad, in order to make heaven our home. Regardless of your circumstances, you can do good or bad. See, that's the same thing as a prisoner. I took three words from that word prisoner and used them for the glory. See, regardless if you want good or bad circumstances, the Holy Spirit should be trapped inside you so you can choose the right way. You can choose a high road. You ain't got to get mad. Like I said, you ain't got to get discouraged. You got to look for heaven as your home. And when you understand that a prisoner, what it is, because Paul said he was a prisoner, and you understand cellmate, you ain't got to take the first meaning you see of cellmate, because when you look in the dictionary, there are so many different meanings of cellmates. That's why I chose that meaning, a group of individuals who share a work area. We all come to church. We are all can be considered cellmates. We all share in a body. We all do different things in a body. But see, when you start putting negative words, like Brother Dan said, when you start doing certain things, we ain't going to be united. We ain't going to have unity. We need to understand the same thing. If we're reading the same Bible, we need to have the same understanding, right or wrong. Mm-hmm. We don't need to divide the word up, because all we're doing is causing division amongst ourselves. Why do you think Paul wrote this letter? He was telling him, you're not my prisoner. You're a prisoner of the Lord. Yeah. Don't lean onto your own understanding. Lean onto what the Bible is telling you in black and white. Yeah. It's easy to understand. But when we get in here and want to, like I said, it's a messed up pot of gumbo. We make it seafood gumbo and put spaghetti noodles in it. Come on now. We want to do our own recipe. No, the Bible is cut and dry. We just lean to our own understanding, which we shouldn't. But see, we're going to talk about a person, and we're going to learn about a group. Because when you understand that you're a cellmate, in every prison, there has a warden. And our warden is God himself. See, when you go before the warden, you got to go through the son, who's your parole officer, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ presents your case to the warden in order to get freed. Amen. But see, you also have your cellmate, which should be the Holy Spirit, to sit down and guide and direct you how to present yourself to the Father. See, some of us might keep this in mind. See, some of you and me included are married, and that person is your cellmate. Because in a cellmate, you with them for more times out of your life than anything, just like you in prison. Being honest. No, I'm not seeking deep. I'm just going on because you got to understand it. You with that person all your life, right or wrong. You're around that person, right? Sometimes it might be good. Sometimes it might be bad. But guess what? You got to take it with the good and the bad. Look, really, you do. But let's keep on going. It says, see, some of us as kids that stay with us, they become your cellmates. And sometimes it's really like I'm in prison. Look, you got to really understand this. You know what I'm saying? Really understand what you're saying, because you spend a majority of time with these people I'm talking about. And sometimes it's hard to get along with them. Sometimes you have fights. Sometimes you have arguments. But you got to remember, if the Holy Spirit is trapped inside you, you'll look past that. You'll go to them and say, stop this nonsense. We are Christians. We need to live up to the calling that we say we have. But let's keep on going. It says, some of us as co-workers that we work with that become our cellmates. But last but not least, some of us have church members that we worship with, and they become our cellmates. In order to understand what a prisoner is, you need to have the mindset of a prisoner. See, a prisoner will get so holy while they confined in those four walls. They read the Bible every morning. They pray every morning. They become better ministers than some of the ministers that done went to school and study for 30, 60 years. But as soon as they get that little bit of freedom, they break loose and go back to their old ways. See, we come here to the church house on a parole hearing every Sunday. We sit here, we worship, we sing songs, and we're so sanctified. But as soon as the parole board said, go ahead and freedom, we forget all about what the message was about. Yes. See, we call today Super Bowl Sunday. Today is the Lord's Day. Amen. We done got so caught up in the world, we even have Mother's Day. Yeah. We even have Father's Day. They even got National Hot Dog Day. I'm gonna make a day, bring Jeremiah all your money day, and see if we follow that plan. We making days up, be honest. But we forget the day is the Lord's. Amen. We go through all this comedy, all this stuff, and forget who woke us up this morning. Right. See, we need to get on that unity page. We need to remember who day it is. Yes. Don't get me wrong, it's good to honor your mothers. Because yes. Without one, I wouldn't be here. Right. It's good to honor our fathers. Because without one, I sure wouldn't know the word of God. Without him, God didn't direct me. Yes. And that's why he did that, because the Holy Spirit guided and directed him. But see, we fall so much in tune into this worldly mess and we don't even know it. Amen. We falling for the tricks of the trade and the devil's loving it, because we mark on our calendar, today is Mother's Day. You know, I've been looking forward to this day. Who say you're going to live to see Mother's Day? Who say you're going to live to see Father's Day? You need to be grounded every day you have. Yeah. You need to understand who you're a prisoner of. You need to understand what you're called to do. We need to stop playing and get serious with it. Amen. Because who said heaven's going to be our home? We don't know that. We need to live like heaven is going to be our home. We need to live with understanding who a prisoner is. See, because like I said, when a prisoner goes to a cellmate, he shares with a cellmate his most covenant secrets. He tells the cellmate everything. His cellmate knows his life, things that his significant other don't know about. We should be the same way in the body. We should be able to tell one another our personal feelings. We should be able to share when something hurts us and not be in fear it's going to get back to the next person. We need to understand this unity ain't going to work until we start working. Yes. We need to understand if we're prisoners in here, it needs to carry on outside these four walls. I understand it's funny and everything, but when you take it really to the bone, you start to understand what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to look past the individual and see the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. See, but until you understand that, you're going to be just like that prisoner on parole. I'm going to act good for the parole board. I'm going to shuck and jive them until I get out. I might have 10 years on probation where I got to be monitored. I'm going to act good. But once those 10 years is up, I'm going to go back to who I was. You understand, we on probation with our Heavenly Father. We check in on Sundays and Wednesdays and we good to go, right? Some... We check in on Christmas, and that's the only time, because we think it's God, Jesus Christ's birthday. And I'm being serious. It's a daily examination. Yes, right. Not just once a year, once a month, when everybody gets together. It's daily. And when you understand this, you understand what I'm about to tell you. See, like I said, we have the Holy Spirit, which should be our cellmate. And if the Holy Spirit is in each of us, we can be each other's cellmates. We have Jesus Christ, who is our probation officer. And we have God the Father, who is the warden. Better yet, he's the executioner. Better yet, he is the judge. You need to understand this. He holds it all in his hand. But you got to go through that parole officer, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn our books. That's just a foretaste to what I'm about to get to in our sermon today. Let's turn our book to 1 Kings chapter 3, because we're going to learn about an individual, two individuals actually, that were cellmates. When you go to 1 Kings chapter 3, turn in there, and I'm reading this from the King James Version. It's interesting how Solomon got this. See, because we went over a little bit in class this morning about understanding and why you can get on the same page. I'm not going to read the first verses, but I'll start at verse 6, just for time's sake. But see, Solomon was King David's son. Solomon didn't have the wisdom. He didn't have all this. But Solomon understood who God was, because Solomon, see what he did for his father, King David. See, Solomon had an example set for him, which each and every one of us should be setting an example for our kids, our grandkids. But not only important that, for the world. When we set this example for the world, we have no problem getting along with the world. It's when we want to lean to our own understanding. But see, Solomon in verse 6, it reads as following. In Galibin, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, the Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in." This is Solomon. He's saying, "I'm a little child." Mm-hmm. And Solomon wasn't a little child. He was talking about his mindset, people. Yes. He's talking about his understanding, people. See, that's why we're going to get on the same page today. I'm going to make it clear as black and white to you. He wasn't talking about he was a babe. He's talking about his mindset wasn't ready. See, some of us don't want to get our mindset ready for what God has to offer us. We want to stay on our own understanding. We want to lean to what we think is best. We want to do what we think is right. You know how your mom give you a recipe that's been handed down from family to family, and you try to put your own little twist on it, and the family be like, "What the heck did you do to mama recipe? It tastes nasty, it's hard, it's brittle." And they eating it, lying to you. "It tastes so delicious." And as soon as they walk out the door, "That was nasty." No, follow the recipe. What do you think Solomon did? He followed his daddy recipe. He did what David did. You got to look at what he did. He prayed to God. God appeared to him. He said, "I can't do this." But you know what? He understood what God can do because he seen what his father can do. That's why he's having this conversation. Let's read on. "And your servant David and your servant is in the midst of your people to whom you have chosen, a great people." See, he knew he had a great responsibility. Mm-hmm. He knew what he had to do. He's like, "You know what? I'm not backing down, though." See, sometimes when we see an obstacle, we back down real fast. "I'm not going to tell that person I'm a Christian. I'm not going to bother with that person." If you don't confess him before a man, Jesus Christ will not confess you before his father. Amen. Go boldly and say, "I'm a Christian. I don't care if you don't want to be my friend. Unfriend me on Facebook. They do it all the time anyways. You wasn't supposed to be my cellmate. You wasn't supposed to be in my inner circle." But let's keep reading. "Too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" You see what he asked for? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for glory. He didn't ask for none of that. He said, "Give me an understanding heart." Right. How many of us go to God and ask God to give us some understanding? Or how many of us, "Lord God, if you give me the sixth number of the Powerball, I'll be sure to get a church 10%. Or just give me five numbers because I know the jackpot pretty high, so I'll take five. Give me long, give me this, give me that." But how many of us ask for understanding to communicate with other people? How many ask us for I have a tender heart? So when they trample on you, can say, "I love you in spite of." Think about your prayers. Think about it. Do we ask God for that? Solomon, God said, "Ask me anything you want." And this is what he asked for. See, if you don't see, Solomon wasn't in the New Testament, but look at Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. Luke 11, 9 and 10. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Yes. You understand, what are you asking God for? What do you really want from God? Do you want a heart that's so tender when people spit in your face, you can say, "You know what, I love you. I'll turn the other cheek." Because the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Do we ask for that type of mindset, or is that too much for us to bear? The flesh cries out, huh? You better start rethinking your prisonership and who's in charge. See, let's keep reading. The speech pleased the Lord. Do you understand what his speech did? It pleased God himself. Do our speech please the Heavenly Father? Think about it. Think about your prayers. Do they really please God? Or do they please into yourself? That Solomon had asked this thing. He said, Solomon asked this thing. Do you know why he asked this thing? Because he knew what he had to do for God. Brother Henry, read for me, James. He gonna read, so we got understanding. He's gonna read from the King James Version or the version. I'm gonna read from you the Message Version. Go ahead, brother.
This is a new King James. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God."
James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Do you understand what it said? I'm going to give it to you even more plainer. This is from the Message, so we can really understand it. Cut and dry. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your way. That sounds like Burger King slogan. Your way, right away. And fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own he copied the same thing. You want what is in yours. Okay. You said you want what isn't yours and will risk to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why? Because you know you'd be asking for it for what you have no right to. You spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Amen. That's like a little kid crying for some candy, like my son. Knowing he's not supposed to have it, but he don't understand. That's the whole difference. He don't understand that I'll mess his teeth up and rotten them out. He don't understand that. But some of us understand these things and we still want what we want because we spoil little children. Brother Henry read, we ask amiss. When we pray, what are we praying for? What are we asking for? Solomon asked for something to help out the world, not himself. Yes. He knew he had a great responsibility as king. How many of us know we got a great responsibility as Christians? Seek and save the lost, to unite, to come to unity. But how divided are we over simple things? Jesus wept. Well, what did that mean? Well, I don't know. It meant Jesus wept. He cried. But we'll have a debate over that just because the flesh want to cry out. Simple, very simple. He cried. He wept. But yet we fight over little things, people. We need to start understanding because the verse says spoil little children from the Message point. Mm-hmm. We ask amiss. We ain't asking for what we really want because we think we want what the world has. Like I said, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and everything else. We want what the world has. Think about it. The Israelites wanted kings and judges. Are we not just getting intertwined with the world more and more by celebrating these days? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying nothing against them, but look how fast we do. Super Bowl Sunday. Boy, boy, boy. Look at how fast we turn. Just for man's thing. And when football get rid of, we ain't going to remember what football was because they're going to come up with something newer and better. They is. They're going to have something newer. They're going to be on Mars doing something and we're going to forget all about it. Everybody talking about this young man and his family that died. Give a few years later, people don't even talk about Martin Luther King or any other great ones that died a long time ago. That has become a part of history. But Jesus lives on through all eternity. We need to understand who we live for. Let's get back to the lesson. Verse 11 in Kings chapter 3. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies. See, David used to ask for his enemies to get killed. If you know about David, and I'm being serious, he sent a man to the front line to get killed to have his woman. But his son wasn't like David. He didn't ask for that. But you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. We just read what God said. Seek, ask, and knock. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. So don't go home and pray to God asking for what Solomon asked for. Because what did the word just say? There shall none be like you, or there shall be none after you. 13, and I have also given you what you have not asked. See, when you're doing God's will, God gonna bless you on top of a blessing. He said, what you have not asked, I have also given what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be none among you, anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. He said, I'm going to lengthen your days as long as you stick with me. God tells us he'll give us 3 cores and 10, which is 70. And by reason of service, he'll add on more than that.
That's right.
But how many of us are really paying attention to that? Mm-hmm. We going off this science fiction stuff. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, they making hearts and stuff out of 3D printers. Mm-hmm. They doing all this stuff. Technology. Yes, they are. They doing all this stuff nowadays. Pretty soon, they ain't going to have to have a liver transplant. They going to print it up on a 3D printer. But guess what? If you ain't got money, don't even think about it, because it's going to the highest bidder. See, the rich is trying to outlive everybody. But guess what? They're going to come with judgment too. You got to understand this. If you honor God's word, he'll lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered up peace offerings, and he made a feast for all his servants. He was not thinking about himself, people. He was thinking about everybody he came in contact with. I'm almost done, because this is the real part of the sermon that we really need to understand. Because when we have cellmates, sometimes we get to think we know one another. Sometimes we think we together with one another. We think we on the same page with one another until we come to a trial and tribulation, just like these two ladies are about to come to. See, your faith is tested. It could be your husband, your wife, your kids, your daughters, your grandparents, your coworkers. But when that test come, will you survive this test? Because we're going to find out about these two ladies and find out what they did. Now, two women, verse 16. Now, two women who were harlots, prostitutes, other words that they were, use your own imagination. But these two women were harlots. Came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O Lord, O my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. You understand this? They were living together. They were together. They were best friends, cellmates, prisoners of one another. And I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was in the house except the two of us in the house. These people were by themselves. Nobody else there to be a witness. Nobody else around them. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. So this lady said, you know what? She asleep. My baby I just killed. Let me go do a little switcheroo real fast. I'm going to take my dead baby and give it to her and take her live baby and give it to me. You see how busy the devil get? How busy the devil get, boy? Done took something that wasn't hers, but she felt it was hers. Don't let nobody take your joy. Don't let nobody take your love. Don't let nobody do that to you or whatever happens to you throughout this week. Verse 21. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son who I had bore." She had enough common sense, because most people, when their baby's born, they all look the same, people say. They do. That's what some people say. Back in the days, it was a lady who switched a baby with the family and the baby, and they raised a baby for years. It made the news and everything. And they didn't find out until the baby was full grown, because they really thought that was their child. And the nurse barely admitted it. And all this came to light. But see, the truth came out. Verse 22. Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. What you got to understand, when you go home, read Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. I'm going to read verse 20. It says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst." Go home and read Matthew. It doesn't mean just because we hear, God is, he's in the midst, the Holy Spirit is. But what that verse is talking about, a brother and a fault. It says, go to that brother and try to get it right. If that brother don't want to listen, take somebody that's worthy to plead your case. If they don't want to listen in, take it before the church. But you got to remember, God is always in the midst. See, God was with Solomon. Because it says, and thus they spoke before the king. Verse 23. And the king said, "The one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is a living one." Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to one, and the other half to the other." King Solomon has some wisdom about himself. He said, "You know what? I'll solve this real fast. Go get me a sword. We'll just cut the baby in half. Which half you want, the lower half or the top half? Y'all make a decision today. Do you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, or do you want to be a part in saying the kingdom? Because you're going to get cut in half, and guess what? Both parts are going to go to one place. It's up to us to make a decision. Are we going to be united, or are we going to sit here and fight over little things? Are we going to lean to our own understanding?" See, I'm almost done. It says, verse 26, Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him." See right there, she has so much love that she said, "You know what? I'd rather see this child live with her than to die." How much love do you have those people in the world? You got to think about this. Are you willing to say, "You know what? I love you regardless what you do. You want to be an alcoholic? Be an alcoholic, but I'm going to love you in spite of." See, one day that person will say, "I done did you so wrong. I came in your house, broke into your house, stole everything, and you still welcome me in with love. I stopped drinking because nobody else did this for me. Everybody else called the police, kicked me out, did me wrong, but you showed me love. You showed me that Jesus Christ was real. It might take 40 years, it might take 50 years, but God gonna make sure you see it in your lifetime." But what do? "Nah, you stink. You know, drink so much, it's coming out your pores. You can't come in my house because all you're gonna do is drink the Listerine, even though I don't put alcohol in it anymore." You gotta really start thinking about this. Are we really cellmates of our Lord and Savior? Or do we get on parole as soon as this service is over? It was a good message, but boy, that game is on. We got to really start understanding this, people. We really got to understand this. Keep on reading. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divided. Do you see how wicked this woman was? She said, I'm going to read it again. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. Do you see how much bitterness she had in her heart? How much evil she had in her heart? Do we sometimes get so mad that we curse and wish something would happen to somebody else? We got to think about this. So angry. Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to say that. King David did it all the time. Slay my enemies, kill my enemies. King David was a man that did not care. But he always said, please be merciful to them, Lord. This lady didn't want to see none of them happy. She said, I done lost my child. The bitterness done get so much caged up in her that she didn't want to see nobody happy. Let's keep reading. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child. By no means kill him. She is the mother. And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had redeemed. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him and a minister justice. Let me explain something to y'all people. If God is in us and the Holy Spirit is in us, the world will see it. That's right. The world seen Solomon and his wisdom. They honor Solomon. But what do the world see when they see us? Do they honor us? Because you know what? They're not honoring us. They're honoring our Heavenly Father. See, they didn't honor Solomon. They honor God. They seen God in Solomon. When you have this Holy Spirit in you, it should be a reflection everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. I'm almost done. I know the game is on. I know y'all ready to go. Probably got everything set up. I already done had family and everybody come over. Today is the day the Lord made, people. We need to stop getting entangled with these manly, earthly things. Like I said, my wife ain't even deciding her cousin play on the dang team, the 49ers. And we ain't at the game. I'll see him when I see him because I know what's important to me. I could even, can you make a phone call so we can go? No. I'm going to go home and take my behind to sleep and get ready to go to work. God has allowed me to come here and preach to y'all. We got to understand what's more important to us. Because when you're dead and gone, what legacy will you leave? Oh, they was a hell raiser. They didn't really know God. Or what they say at your ceremony, that person, I wish I could spend a little bit more time because I could see God in them. I miss them so much, not because they talk so much, because they show me love. They show me understanding. You got to understand that. Because all you're going to leave is memories at the end of the day. We need to learn how to be united in the spirit, people. Amen. We need to understand God has given us each something. Stop asking for what you want and ask God to give you something you need, which is patience and understanding. So we can be united in the spirit. So when we go out, they can be like, I know that person's a member of the body. And they can say it proudly by the way we carry on. Like I said, if you want to be a member of this, if you have anything weighing on your heart, you can ask for prayer. You can get this prayer. You can be forgiven. Everything can be wiped clean. You ain't got to hold this burden on. You ain't got to worry about nobody in here because guess what? You got to worry about Jesus Christ. Yeah. We can pray for you. We can baptize you. We can add you to the body. Yes. You can get this wisdom and understanding. Amen. If you really want it. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. I thank y'all for y'all time. Remember who your cellmate is. Amen. You got to be with him in a car as soon as you go home, just like I got to be with my wife. And you're like, what did you say? But guess what? She loved me in spite of. I'll buy her something. Thank y'all for y'all time. Y'all be blessed.